The banjo is an instrument that has contributed greatly to the sound of America. But as KGOU's Jim Johnson reports, the banjo's place in history is one that is as unique as its sound.
For many children growing up in the early 1980s, their first exposure to the banjo was this song from the opening scene of 1979's The Muppet Movie, featuring Kermit the Frog, forlorn but hopeful as he sings and strums on a banjo while sitting on a log in a swamp.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
That vision of the banjo, to many people, is their only vision of the banjo. Oh yeah, that's the instrument Kermit plays.
Johnny Beyer is the executive director of the American Banjo Museum, located in Bricktown. He says Muppet creator Jim Henson's lifelong affinity for the banjo is one reason for a new exhibit in Henson's honor. The exhibit, Jim Henson, Life and Legacy, will be officially christened as part of a multifaceted event called Banjo Fest, set for September 6th through the 8th. And while the banjo has enjoyed other seemingly glowing moments in popular culture, the instrument hasn't always been portrayed in such a positive light.
Well, the banjo has a lot of baggage with it, a lot of ties to early racism. It's something we wish wasn't part of the story, but if we're going to tell the story of the history of the banjo, we have to include the fact that the banjo was introduced to America by enslaved Africans in the mid-1600s, and those early banjos remained exclusive to the black culture for 200 years.
According to Beyer, the earliest banjos, or banjars as they were also known, weren't the instruments we recognize today. They could have any number of strings, and the bodies were made of gourds or other available materials. The one thing they had in common were the animal skin membranes stretched across them like a drum, which resonated when the strings were plucked or strummed.
When white culture embraced the banjo kind of as their own in the mid-1800s, it came at the expense of the black culture, white performers performing in blackface, doing grossly, exaggerated performances that really ridiculed the black culture.
This period in time was so hurtful that the culture that brought the instrument to America abandoned it in large part. And this same time saw major technological changes in the banjo's design.
When minstrelsy came into play, there was a pushback, a logical pushback, especially after the end of the Civil War, among the black culture. Yes, there were certain small pockets of black banjo activity, and you had in the jazz community great banjo pioneers. Your Ikey Robinsons and your Elmer Snowdens and the such. But by the 1920s, most people thought the banjo had originated with white people in Appalachia. And while the black culture thrived musically, the banjo had little to do with it.
Beyer says this is a primary reason why there are comparatively fewer African Americans represented in the museum. But today, and thanks in part to artists like Taj Mahal, Rhiannon Giddens, Otis Taylor, and several others, African Americans are increasingly reclaiming their cultural connection to the instrument and adding their own approaches to the banjo's unique sounds, sounds which will be on full display this week during the 3rd annual Banjo Fest. For KGOU, I'm Jim Johnson.
The American Banjo Museum's 2018 Banjo Fest kicks off Thursday with various public performances at the museum in Oklahoma City. The annual Hall of Fame induction ceremony is Friday in Devon Tower, and the event concludes Saturday evening with a concert showcase in Midwest City. Details, including this year's scheduled performers, can be found by clicking the Events tab on our website at kgou.org.